going to quickly pray, but before I do that, I'm going to read from Habakkuk before I do that. So Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we surrender to you, God, right now. We surrender to what you have prepared in John's heart, and we surrender to what you have prepared our hearts throughout this week to hear this morning. God, would you be with us? Would your spirit again be just so tangible in our hearts, in our lives? Would we feel your presence now this morning, God? Father, I pray that we would surrender our hearts to you, God, that we would surrender everything in our lives to you right now in this moment, and that we would just sit and be still and know that you are God. You are God above all. You are God above everything. You are the God who was and is to come. There is great power in that. There is great power in worshipping your name, even though we don't understand. And crying out to you, God, there is power in that because it brings us close. So God, would you keep these things on our mind? Would you open up our hearts? Would you allow us to really hear, really listen to what you have to say to us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give it up for JB.
Thank you. Well, good morning to everybody who is gathered here and those who are gathered online and those who may be watching later online. Just before I begin, I've promised so many people who've come to me and asked about Carlton that I will not say anything today. So no word about Carlton at all. We live today in a really tap-and-go type world. We're conditioned to expect instant responses to things. You know that as you go around your daily work and go to shopping and go to the service stations and so on. Service quality and personal competence is measured in how quickly you are given what you want. And someone has well described the way we live as a shredded lifestyle in a frenetic generation. And that's pretty well true, a shredded lifestyle in a frenetic generation. Now, this instant frenetic type of pace can even extend to our relationship with God if we're not careful. We urge God to hurry up, God. We urge him to respond now to what I'm asking, especially when we feel fearful or anxious about what is going on all around us. Well, this is not something new. Because Habakkuk, an ancient prophet of God, was also looking for now answers in a really troubled time. And in the absence of those answers, he felt baffled and broken. And yet he soon discovered that to truly understand God and to really understand how God answers prayer, a whole different approach was necessary than the hustle and the bustle. Habakkuk would learn a new way to posture with God, and it was to watch and to wait. Now, in anxious times, we may find that very hard to do. I'm sure as it hits your heart at the moment to watch and wait for your anxious times and your answers to those, it sort of doesn't quite sit very well often. We want to get back to normality now. We've got the problem of COVID-19, we've got the invasion of Ukraine, we've got the floods, we've got the fires, and last week we lamented and prayed about such things. Well, in the midst of all these current concerns, Habakkuk and his encounter with God in a time of real trouble in Israel, I believe offers us something today, and it's a challenge for us to follow. Now, by way of background, very quickly, Habakkuk has just been very blunt with God. Aaron dealt with this complaint a few Sundays ago. He had many questions about the world around him, rampant injustice, incredible violence, and unthinkable immorality. And there seemed to be, and here was the main problem, there seemed to be no response by God to all this stuff. Unanswered prayer. And perhaps worst of all, it became clear to Habakkuk that God had in his mind to use as his agent of judgment against Israel, mind you, a horrific, cruel, barbaric nation called Babylon. That God would use Babylon to bring judgment on the people of Israel. It seemed beyond belief. And someone has once said that it is a real wise person who takes questions about God to God for answers. And that's what Habakkuk did, which made him a wise person. In his confused, doubting, and troubled heart, he took time out to focus on what he knew about God. And as Aaron shared with us the other week, he settled on the fact that God is my rock. So that became the foundation. He stood upon that as the first base. He knew that the character of God was eternal. The character of God was changeless. And yet what Habakkuk learned for his anxious times was not an easy lesson to learn. And it's not for us today. You see, it asked for him to do something that went against the grain. To watch and to wait. That was against every grain of his being, and it seemed to compromise his need to find the answer to injustice. And so this morning I want to spend a little bit of time on this one aspect of what it is to sit and wait and watch for God in your anxious times. And I'm sure that each of you have some anxious times. In the following weeks, Nathan is going to lead us into the song that comes out of our time of sitting in silence and sobs. But for now, we're going to sit in that space. From Habakkuk's encounter, several things become clear about what it would take if you are to watch and to wait for God's answers and choose to rest in his character. Firstly, it's going to take a lot of patience. Habakkuk said, I will stand at my watch. And here what he's describing is the posture of a watchman. Habakkuk seemed to be very aware that God's response may not come straight away, and so he would have to choose to stand and to watch and to wait for it. And that was the hard bit. But this is a very sound posture stance for us to have today as we face our challenging times. Are you troubled or confused by something? Does life to you right now seem quite unfair? Are you facing some injustices against you in some way? Well then, watch and wait is still the right posture as we're going to learn. Or perhaps you've already come to that place because this series has been going for a little while now where you have been reminded of God's character, that he's the rock, and you're standing on that. Perhaps you're already trusting in the fact that God is good and holy and steadfast and eternal. Well, now I'm inviting you to a further moment, to now take a stand of waiting and watching for what he's going to say. Because surely he will answer your prayer. Habakkuk said, I'll stand at my watch. Now, God's appointed prophets were expected to be watchmen for the people. The posture of a watchman was as a guard standing on duty, as a sentry positioned to warn the people of pending danger. And usually that danger was their departure from the law of God. But Habakkuk is quite unique in his watchman role. He is not standing as a watch over the people so much. He's standing in watch at God. He's looking directly towards God. So Habakkuk takes his stand on duty, on guard, on the lookout for how God is going to respond and answer to this question of the Babylonian oppressors and how his response is going to stack up and match his character and his covenant promises. Now, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine could well be asking the very same sort of questions right now regarding God's justice and the apparent injustice. They face the same sort of wait and watch challenge as they face unwarranted oppression by an unjust oppressor. I had the privilege this last week of sharing in an international meeting of the Baptist World Alliance where the executive met. And in that worldwide gathering, there were two people of great significance, the man at the top and the man at the bottom. Here is the Russian and the Ukrainian Baptist leaders together looking to God in the midst of the trouble. And the whole BWA executive are there standing in watch with them, seeking God and God's righteous response to this terrible situation. For your anxious times, the deepest answer is still the same as that Ukrainian man at the top and the Russian man at the bottom. You are to wait and to watch. And the Baptist Christians in Ukraine and all Christians in Ukraine and Russia are doing the same thing. They're waiting and watching on God, because where are the answers in our sense of things? To recognise that God is up to something, but what is it? I will wait and I'll watch to him. Far too often in our anxious and troubled times, we are more prone to talk and do, to want and worry, to try and make sense of it all from our perspective, from our political persuasion, try to work it all out by ourselves, when all the while we're not up to it. It is beyond us. We do better to wait and to watch. Perhaps it is time right now for you to change your posture when it comes to your anxious times and gain some spiritual insight that God will give you as you wait and watch to him. Perhaps it's time to embrace the word of Isaiah, where he says, those who do that, those who do wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar, they will run, they will not grow weary, they will walk and not get faint. In one anxious moment, Daniel in the Old Testament discovered this to be so true. He had a vision of a man, and many regard this to be the Son of God manifest at that moment, or if not, then it was an angel of the highest order. And Daniel heard, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Note, he took his stand, watching towards God. And then he continued, this man, the angel, the Lord Jesus himself, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to it to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. Do you sometimes wonder whether God has heard your cry? Well, believe he has. Trust it. We read here from the very first moment that Daniel cried out with a needy heart, God had heard his prayer and either had or was yet to answer that prayer, but he had heard it. Yet it's such a hard lesson to learn. To trust that God does hear our prayer, to believe that God is attentive to our need, to know that God is answering our every situation. It's only though as you learn to do that, to trust and take hold of it, that you will come to experience the same good news that Daniel heard. Do not be afraid. Are you in anxious times this morning? Well, as you learn to trust in God and as you bring your prayer to him, the answer will come to you. Do not be afraid. Fear was the first thing that entered into the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned. Where are you, Adam? I was afraid, so I hid myself. Do not be afraid is God's answer to trust in him. So it's going to take patience in your anxious times to find your way through. Secondly, Habakkuk shows us that as we choose to wait and to watch, you will face times of loneliness. And I'll station myself on the ramparts. Now, this carries a sense of solitary duty. Notice I'll station myself. Although the watchmen or sentries may have had contact with some people during the day, at the night time when they're stationed on the tower, there came the long watches of the night, and they were intensely lonely experiences. And many of God's prophets were well out on the limb, and they knew what loneliness was all about. One prophet, Jeremiah, said he was so pressured that he felt at the bottom of the pit. Ever felt that way? Another watchman felt so isolated and lonely as he brought a message of pending doom to God's disobedient people. To serve as God's chosen person, you would often know what it was to be alone with God. And Habakkuk's vigil was almost certainly lonely, unaccompanied, solitary. And his dialogue comes across like that. He's going through the dark place of the soul. Is this something maybe you have known in your times of trouble? Have you agonized sometimes with the injustice or the unrighteousness or what's happening to you or to others, and you've had some self-imposed alone time with God? As hard as it is to do that, it's the right pathway to find answers to your anxious times. Spend time with God. It will take patience and it may be lonely, but so often in the rush and bustle, we fail to do just that. We fail to wait and to watch. We want now answers. Will you be still and therefore ponder, what is God up to in this situation? I don't know, but I will watch and wait. What's happening to me and why? I don't know, but I will watch and wait. It seems just so unfair, so unjust, what's happened to me. Well, yes, it does, but I will watch and wait. Too often we know little about that pausing long enough to hear the whisper of God in the deep part of our soul. For your anxious times in the midst of all the turmoil, be still and know God. It's still the secret to anxious moments. So Habakkuk shows us that if you are to choose to wait and watch for God, you will need patience, but it may take loneliness. And thirdly, you will be challenged to think differently if you wait and you watch. Notice Habakkuk says, I will look to see what he will say to me. Now, one of the great theologians of the Reformation, John Calvin, says of this verse, the prophet, finding himself sinking and, as it were, overwhelmed in the deepest abyss, raises himself above the judgment and reasons of men and comes nearer to God that he may see on high the things which take place on earth and not judge according to the understanding of his own flesh, but by the light of the Holy Spirit. Just sit with that statement for a moment. Read it quietly yourself. Allow it to saturate your soul. You know, many have found this to be the key to coping with anxious times, to think differently about them, to embrace the divine perspective, not ours. Habakkuk said, I will look to see what he will say to me. He didn't say, I'm going to figure this out by myself. He didn't say, my own understanding is pretty sufficient. That'll be adequate. He didn't say, I'm going to work this through a rational process. No, he didn't say that. Rather, he said, I will look to see what he will say to me. Oh, that we would do more of that as we seek answers to anxious times. Would we choose to accept that our understanding, even though it goes against our pride, that our understanding is not sufficient to understand the answers of God? Isaiah realized this, who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him or teach him the right way? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Of course, no one. Paul too realized this. Borrowing from Isaiah there, Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord or been his counselor? Who has ever given to God or that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. You know, there's a divine perspective. There's a higher thought than our thoughts and our ways. And in light of all this, Paul offers this counsel to us. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, it's going to take a posture of challenge for you. To respond to a challenge to think differently about what is going on that's bringing you anxious thoughts and times. That you will be able to rest and approve what God is doing. All these Bible-filled writers of the Holy Spirit had the same secret to getting answers. I will look to see what he will say to me. As simple as that, and I'm going to believe it and trust it. Over and over, the same answer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You know, that is probably the verse every person should take and write and have every morning front and center. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. I give you a confident assurance that if you posture that way, the anxious thoughts are going to be less for the problems you face. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Job, who faced incredible trauma, lost his whole family. It wasn't an easy thing, but in his deeply anxious times, he said, I know that you can do all things, God. Your plans cannot be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I have spoken things I did not understand. That's the view he came to. I'm speaking out of my mouth stuff that I don't know anything about. They're too wonderful for me. Job learnt the Habakkuk way. I will look to see what he will say to me. And David the psalmist learnt this too for his anxious times. I will not concern myself with great matters too wonderful for me. Let's be on thee, he says. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. The answer to anxious times. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. So whether it's Habakkuk or Job or Dave or Paul, they all learn the same secret. I will look to see what he will say to me. And so too, that's your answer. It'll never come by self-effort or wrestling. It will never come by purely rational processes. It will come as you wait and watch for the divine perspective, trusting that his thoughts are higher. Well, by standing at his watch, Habakkuk had decided his approach. He would pay full attention to God's word. Not so much the audible word, but the word that he was sensing in his heart. But to do this, he needed silence and solitude. Someone well said, God does not talk all the time, and God's silence is as emphatic as his speech. I wonder, are you an anxious traveller today? If so, there's a real answer to your worry, to allow your thinking to be challenged so that God's ways become clearer to you. And as God's ways become clearer to you and you do like Job and Paul, I won't even go there, God, because I don't understand it. As you do that, you will find a peace that passes understanding. And so for our anxious times, you learn patience. Then you learn loneliness, and then you learn to think differently. But also, and here's a hard part, you may face correction. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm going to give to this complaint. Now, the word complaint here can have a couple of different meanings. The King James Version has it, what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Hebrew word could refer to either the argument I've offered or the correction I'm going to receive. And some believe it's about Habakkuk posturing, waiting for the correction that God will give. Whatever, Habakkuk seems to know that God will answer and he'll give the right perspective. He's wondering, how is God going to respond to these matters I've raised? What will his argument be? And what will I say in response to it? It seems that having mounted his arguments, he wants God to answer and pull no punches. And so he braces himself for it. I wonder, when you pray to God in your anxious times, are you prepared to hear what God is going to say? I think sometimes when we say God hasn't answered our prayer, it's more that we're not prepared to accept what he has answered. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes God will respond with correction and with reproof. Does that mean he's not listening? No, it doesn't. Does that mean he's failed to hear your lament? No, not at all. He heard every lament last Sunday. Always remember, though, his ways are higher. His thoughts are greater. Sure, our lament may feel valid, but at the same time, we don't have all the understanding. So don't try and control it. Our concerns must have the divine perspective in order to be released from the anxiousness and the fear. Thankfully, God will move to us in love and mercy to better understanding. His answers may not be what we want, but they will be for our best, even if it is wait longer. So will you receive any correction? I wonder, where have you seen some correction lately? Has there been a basic attitude that's continuing to trip you up and cause you dislocation of relationships? Well, God's nudging you as you're aware of that. He's saying if you don't correct out of that, there's going to be calamity. Has some behaviour caused you conflict and stress and you need to change? Well, that's God nudging you to say, listen, I'm giving an answer here. Has an old habit got a grip again and caused you to feel lost and to suffer? Well, listen out for what God is prompting and convicting you about. Recognise his rebukes. God has spoken. God has pointed out. God is with you. And that's what Habakkuk had to learn. Well, as Habakkuk has been watching and waiting for God, the answers now arrive. And as we look at this, I'm not going to go into the answers because that's something for Nathan to share the beautiful song and the beautiful future that comes out of all of this. But there is a bit here. As God awaits your anxious prayer and answers it, you need to take proper notice of what God says. Take notice of it. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets, write it down in clear and unmistakable terms. Now, Aaron dealt with that last week, so I'm not going to go into that anymore. It was customary, perhaps, in public places to have big signs like we see signs out there. And maybe there are a couple of big signs with a couple of phrases on the road to Jerusalem. But it was there for all to read and digest. The thing I want to bring out was that not only was Habakkuk to embrace and believe the word of God, but he was to then go and share the word of God. To share what God was saying. Over many years, there's been a saying that we have often shared here, gather, as we're doing now, grow, but it doesn't stop there. If it just comes to grow, we become a social meeting of the saints. We gather, we grow in order that we might go. And here is an incredible statement that Habakkuk learns, that he is to write this down because he has to go. And a careful recording of this is so that a herald may run with it. Write all this stuff down, Habakkuk, so that it might just not stay with you as good news, but might go out to others. And I'd say to Enfield Baptists and everyone listening online, don't just receive the good news of Jesus and say, that's great, we're going to gather and we're going to contemplate this and grow together in it. Go with it. Take it out and share it with people who haven't yet heard it. The most adequate meaning here is that everyone who reads and hears these words is to be a herald of this information. You don't just gather now, you go. You go today, you go this afternoon, you go wherever you are, heralding the good news far and wide to all who will see it and hear it. There's a sense of urgency about it and how relevant this is to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are lost people who need to hear the good news. It's us who are the heralds. In anxious times, the most important message that can ever be shared is that despite what's going on, there's hope found in Jesus. The message of hope is to be made clear and plain so that people understand it and take it on board. Now, you have received that good news. That's why you're here today. But are you running with it to others that they might hear about it too? When was the last time an expression, a love, a care, a word, a tract, maybe a book? We all know that many people right now are worried and anxious about the current invasion of Russia into Ukraine. We know that's a current event. You have the chance to very sensitively take that moment and help people understand that despite the gloom and the doom and the pending horror of that, thankfully that is not the end of the story. That's what Habakkuk had to stand on. That's not the end of the story. Because nothing is going to thwart God's eternal purposes. Even that statement is a statement of perspective that could be shared. And why do we share that? Because we know that Jesus came. He died on a cruel cross. He went down to the grave. He beat the power of death. And he went back to heaven. And he's coming back again in order to make all things right. That's the big picture of the gospel. It's not just that he forgave my sins, which he did. It's that he is the coming king and he will rule and reign in righteousness. We're to herald that good news to everybody, and that's the only real answer. Notice how Hebrews said that the people who were in the stands and had died and never seen it were awaiting a time to come for an appointed time, and that's what Habakkuk says. He was to await an appointed time. And until that time came, Habakkuk, there's going to be devastation, slavery, deportation of the people of Israel. But do you know what, Habakkuk? There's going to come a day when the cruel Babylonian rule will end and the future will be wonderful again. What a day to look forward to, Habakkuk. But for now, Habakkuk, you're to stand and wait and watch and hold on to that vision because there's some troubled times ahead. But it will come. Now, wonderfully, this vision that Habakkuk was given of the end of the Babylonian time and the end when Jesus, where God would rule, and we know now that's through Jesus, he looked forward to the end day where there'd be a total resolution of everything. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it lingers, wait for it, it will certainly come. It won't delay. Now, ultimately, we know that this is the day when Messiah comes back to earth in glory, in power, and destroys every rule and authority that's against his purposes. He puts all things under his feet, and he delivers the kingdom to the Father. And in that final sense, the prophecy of Habakkuk still pants today for fulfillment. Still even today, for every generation, from Habakkuk to even now, it seems too slow. We all feel that in anxious moments. It's not happening. Every scrap of theology we possess seems to say God ought to act, and he ought to act now. By all human yardsticks, God is slow. But remember, when you feel that impatience taking hold, that a great gulf exists between your understanding and the understanding of God. And God's time is not our time. How long we cry, and God says, in my time, it's like a twinkling of an eye. Notice again, linger for it. It's so significant the writer of the Hebrews took that and applied it to Jesus. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come. He will not delay. And the great cloud of witnesses knew that. They didn't have answers in their lifetime, but they believed for the time to come, the time when they admitted that it meant they were only strangers and foreigners in this world, but they held on to trust. In your anxious times, there's a message for you from Habakkuk today. Watch and wait. This is not the end. Jesus is coming again. Rest easy. And as I draw this to a close, we read in Titus that we wait, in verse 13, for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, as you face troubled times and you have anxious thoughts, will it be enough for you to hold on to the wonderful hope of the promised return of Jesus Christ to put all things right. I encourage you to learn this. God is not finished yet, by no means. The best is yet to come. Watch and wait. Notice how Peter reflects the posture of Habakkuk. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He's giving you time to share the good news with others. He's not slow, he's patient. And so the bottom line is, we cry, "How long, Lord? Act now." And he answers, "Watch and wait. I'm coming to set all things right." Trust him. So this final part of Habakkuk says, the righteous will live by faith. That's the absolute answer. Live by faith. So central was this thought in Jewish minds that the Jewish Talmud records a famous remark by Rabbi Simlai. Now notice this. He remarked, Moses gave 613 commands. David reduced them to 11. Micah to 3. Isaiah to 2. Habakkuk to 1. The righteous will live by faith. His answer was, no, God is not slow. God is not unrighteous. No, the unrighteous don't prosper. They fail. Faith in God wins out. And so as we finish now, I'm going to just put a few verses up on the screen to reflect on. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you." So Jesus is the answer to peace. Do not let your heart be troubled. In the direct context of our world that's very troubled, will you live out a divine perspective, even in terms of the current crisis? And here's a few verses maybe to go home and read up and look on. So current to today, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Does that sound familiar? It's written in today's newspapers. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up. In your anxious moments, stand up. Same was said to David. And lift up your heads, because your redemption is close. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Trust in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. Watch and wait. Listen for his answers. Stand on his promises. It's not the end of the story. For your anxious times, there is the answer. Let's bow quietly in a time of reflection. You know, perhaps someone here today is going through a very, very deep time of anxiety. And you need to keep up with all those things that you're told to do and make sure, if it's medication involved, that you're also taking that. But I'm encouraging you to also move to a place of even higher trust in what God is up to. Don't try and sort it out yourself. You simply don't know enough. The righteous will live by faith. The truth is, we live in deep waters, and sometimes our feet seem to fail, and fear surrounds us. But we learn that God has never failed us, and he won't start now. And so will you today call upon his name? And will you keep your eyes above the waves? And when those oceans rise and they seem to threaten you, will you rest your soul in his embrace, knowing that he is yours and you are his forever? May your prayer be today, Spirit, lead me where my trust does not have any borders. Let me walk upon the waters that you call me to. and take me deeper than I could have ever imagined and make my faith stronger in the presence of my Saviour.
Oh God, you're so good. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for raising him up from death to life. Thank you for making us whole because of him. Lord God, you are so good and your words are so true. Help us to sit and wait and watch and be on guard and ready, watching for you, waiting for you. God, would you turn our eyes upon Jesus? Would you turn our eyes towards you, God, and to what you are going to say to us in our season of waiting, in our season of lament, in our season of crying out to you, God? Would you help us? Would you give us the strength to be still, to sit and wait upon the Lord? Because you will answer. We will hear from you, God. So help us, remind us of that as we go, as we gather, grow, and go. Would you help us to go, spread this good news that there is hope, that there is hope amidst the waiting, that you will speak to us, that you will answer our prayer. Father, remind us of this constantly. Continuously, would you remind us of this throughout our weeks and as we go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bless you as you go. Thank you so much for joining us today.